So Father, we thank you for this man of God, Lord. We just pray as he is just an empty vessel waiting to be filled by you, Lord. We pray that you would just pour out your anointed oil over him, Lord, from the top of his head to the tips of his toes. And Father, I pray that the words that come out of his mouth would be yours and not his, Lord Jesus. And I pray for the rest of us that we would receive what it is that you have for us to learn. Father, we just pray in Jesus' name that we will leave this place changed from the way we walked in. So, Father, we thank you for Byron. Lord, we thank you that he loves you, God, and his desire is to bless, encourage, lift us up, and build us up in the body. And we thank you for him, God, and praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord. We ask you to send your ministering angels to minister to him and to all of us, Lord, that we would receive everything that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Am I alive? Oh, I'm alive. So, yeah. God is good. He's awesome. He's wonderful. And we're going to find out how good he really is. He's there for the long term in all of our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm going to begin this. We're at Colossians chapter 3. But we're going to begin with the last verse, as Todd so beautifully ended us in Colossians chapter 2. And what was that last verse? Such regulation indeed have an appearance of wisdom. With their self-imposed worship, their false humility, their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restoring sexual indulgence. It's chapter 2 talks about part of chapter 2 talks about a lot of what won't work. And the battle was in the early church was the Judaizers' law and Jesus' grace. So chapter 3 answers those questions. And it's very important for myself. Nancy prayed that we'll all be learning. Hey, I'm learning daily. You know, never allow ourselves to get to the place where we've arrived. Keep a heart of learning. Because we have a God that wants to teach us and lead us in all truth in many areas of our lives. He's there for us. He's a giving God. Chapter 3. Since then, we have been risen with Christ, set our hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So key to what works in our life is keeping our hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's right there, right next to the Father. So when you and I go through life and things come up and issues come up, and we go to the Father, our Abba Father, in prayer, who's right next to the Father? Jesus telling the Father, hear them, listen to them, do what they ask for. Did you ever think about that? It says, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus that's seated with the Father in heavenly places. He's there affirming you and I that belong to him. He's there. He's there. He's like our teacher, coach, and everything we need. He's there saying, Father, listen to Byron now. He belongs to me. hear what he's praying, hear what he's saying, and do what he's asking. Jesus, oh, thank you. Woo, light, all right. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ, in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's talking about there's a time ahead of us when everything changes. And Jesus will return and claim everyone that belongs to him. But it's in verse 3, for you died. You know, this is a perplexing thing. You know, in my life, what do you mean I died? This is information that will help life transformation in my life, in your life. For you died. You died to what? You and I died to the fact that Jesus paid it all. That we can put off, get rid of all the effort and all the things and everything, trying to be so busy trying to do the will of God, when God, Jesus, when he said it was finished, you died to achieving to please God because Jesus paid it. You follow me? You follow? This is very, very crucial to us having victory in life transforming and our lives transform, because one thing that God knows about you and I, one thing he knows that he knows, that we'll fail. But in that, when we fail, when we don't do it right, then he wants to remind us that he accomplished on the cross what we could never do on our own. That I have right standing with my Heavenly Father. And Jesus is seated right next to him. So when failure comes, and failure will come, am I the only one that fails? Yeah, I fail. But then I go to my Heavenly Father with confidence. Key that opened up heaven's gate. I go to my Father in heaven and say, thank you. Thank you for your love and forgiveness. Thank you for the blood shed on by Jesus Christ, my perfect Savior. Thank you that I have right standing of you because Jesus, you accomplished something in my life that I'll never do by self-effort. I'm a son. You're a daughter. You're a son of the living God. And it doesn't stop here. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. See, we have this sinful nature in us ever since Adam failed. And the penalty of what Adam did for all generations since is we'll die. But we have an opportunity as Christians to die daily. Therefore, what belongs to our earthly nature, again, with all the effort we can put forward to do right, our nature is not to do right. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. That, sometimes I don't associate greed with idols, idolatry. What is greed? Greed is I don't have enough, and I want what the other person wants, and this jealousy and this all this stuff that's going on. Now, how is that idolatry? How is that idolatry? Because you're allowing your own desire for things to take the place of God that provides all things. So it becomes an idol. It becomes an idol. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Here's key. I'm glad verse 7 is there. The number of God, right? I'm glad. Here we name all these things. Maybe we can associate some of these words and say, man, I'm struggling there. I'm struggling there. I'm having difficulty there. If you're a born-again believer, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, Jesus already accomplish what you're struggling with. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. A very different list from the other list. Anger, I'm not getting what I want, so I'm mad about it. And some of us will even express that, I'm mad at you, God, for not doing what you said you'd do. Anger. Rage. Rage is anger taken to the next step. And manifesting it. Malice. Malice is really, it has to do with greed and everything else. It's like an undeserved feeling towards somebody that shouldn't be there. Slander. Filthy language from your lips. This list is very different than the other lists. But you know, a lot of this list here, from your lips, somewhere inside, the product will be what we're talking about. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Are we going to be overwhelmed by the devil, the world, and all its stuff? Or are we going to be controlled by the Spirit and our words seasoned by His grace and love on us? See, this list, the other list is a lot about action. This list is a lot about what comes out of our mouth. it's a blessed thing when we can have the thought, catch it there, and not allow it come out of our mouth. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. I love y'all, and so you know about your pastor, I have ministry of people outside this church. And one individual, in conversation with him, he says, and it's not about me, it's about the Lord living in me. He said, I love talking to you, because you don't schmooze anything over. You speak to me truth. But I know you love me. So we have a scripture that says, speak the truth in love. Truth separated from love can become harsh. Well, this individual 2 weeks ago called me, and the guy, he runs, like some of us, we roller coasters, up, down. He called me up, praise the Lord, amen. Then he called me, oh man. So 2 weeks ago he called me and says, man, I got this letter, Biden, I got this letter. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I got this letter from the IRS. And they said, I owe him $10,000. And I don't know, this is everything else that's coming to my... I mean, he was really, really using his lips in frustration. I said, hold on. The letter's not the end of things. Don't let this letter shortchange you from God will provide all your needs according to your riches and glory. Do you believe that? And he said, yeah, I do, but, no buts. Go to your auditor that did your filing. They should help you. It's happened to me, it's happened in our company, and they go out in the bat and they got the IRS to change their mind. It's not the end of the world, you got this letter. Or there's actually companies out there that will fight for you. I don't know what their fees are like, but they'll fight for you. You hear about it on TV, and they advertise it. If they're going to take your house or anything else, you call us and we'll help you. But, sir, you have God on your side. Don't let this letter mess with your life. Which was last week, I get another call from him. He's out of the valley, on top of the hill again. He said, Byron, you won't believe it. Yes, I will believe it. This is so many times I've had this phone call, Byron, you won't believe it. And I say, all right, I will believe it. I have such an amazing God, such a loving God. He said, I called the IRS. I told him about it. He didn't even go to his auditor. He did it himself. And he said, you won't believe what the lady said. Yeah, I will. Send us a check for $35 and your $10,000 is forgiven. Yeah. What language will come out of our lips? This list, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, or I believe God. I believe his promises. I believe everything about him. And my Jesus is sitting right next to my Father in heaven, is my advocate. So when I go to my Heavenly Father, not by self-effort, not so much how good I am or whatever I've done or whatever I'm doing. I'm going to my Heavenly Father, and Jesus is saying to him, my Heavenly Father, Byron believes in you, and he's received my love and forgiveness, which produces fruit. Do not lie to each other. People are hungry for truth, not just schmoozy, not just make them feel good. Sometimes you have to say things that are hard to say. And I was talking to Todd earlier. I said, you know what? To me, what's utmost important when I know I need to talk to somebody about something maybe a little sensitive, to me, I go to my Heavenly Father and I say, I will not speak a word until you give me the go sign at the right time. Meanwhile, I can hold it in. Hold in and wait for the right time. A right word at the right time does amazing things in people's lives. Since you have taken off your old self and its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Back to what I said earlier when we said, I'm always learning. Never got there. I'm always learning. I'm always willing to learn. I'm always willing to learn. Because it says, which is being renewed. You know, when you stop learning, you stop renewing. God is saying, I want to renew you. I want to renew your thinking. I want to renew your life. I want to set a whole path of new in your life. But if you shut down learning, you're shut down being renewed. For there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. All of us came from different things have happened. Different things have happened in our life where you've heard my testimony enough. I'm not going to say it over again. But God took me from very just a evil lifestyle to rapid change in my life. And here it is. It's saying, I love it. Jew, Gentile, or Jew. Circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ in all and in all. I had a focus on what's a Scythian thing? What is that? I don't have it all written here, but it was amazing enough, it was a group of people in Central Asia. Now, this wasn't even the... It's one thing, the Jews and the Samaritans, right? You all know about them, right? They didn't like to associate with each other or anything else. But with this group, this Scythian, the Greeks viewed them as the most barbaric, worthless people on the planet Earth. It was like an acceleration of Jew and Samaritan. It was, I don't want nothing to do with these people. They're ruthless, they're terrible, they're evil. And the Greeks, and that's 2,000 years ago, said nothing, we all had nothing, nothing could come good out of that group. Well, what's the deal here? When Jesus Christ came into our lives, came into our life, and came into my life, I have an opportunity, a real opportunity, not to look down on anybody. Because that's what it's comparing. You know, Gentile, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, Christ is in all. Christ unites all of us, no matter what our background was, no matter where we came from. When Nancy, I look at this, refers to a people group originating north of the Black Sea in the part of Central Asia, were known for to be extremely uncivilized, barbaric, or outsiders. See, Jesus changes everything. You know, we may meet people in our life, in our journey through life, and we may even say to ourselves, that person, that guy, that woman, they're so far gone they'll never come to Jesus. Big surprise, they do. And when that happens, when that happens, we become equal with them. They're no longer that person anymore that will never come to Jesus. Now they've become a brother or a sister. It's the body life of the Christ. It's the body life of the church. You and I, we all have our faults. Let's not focus on each other's faults. Let's focus on the redemptive power of the name of Jesus to bring life transformation. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance. There it is, folks. There it is. We got two lists. Actions, words. Now we're defining who we are. Who we are. We are a chosen people, holy, dearly loved. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We become God's representative on earth. Key to that, we're God's chosen people. Do you ever think of yourself? Did I ever think of myself as holy? If we're talking about self-effort, never. If we're talking about what Jesus accomplished for us, the gift of righteousness, we're holy. You're holy. You have been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. When he uttered the words, "It's finished," everything you need to be accepted by your Heavenly Father has been accomplished. through the blood of Jesus. You don't have that blood of Jesus plus. It's the blood of Jesus. Finish work. You're holy. I don't feel holy. I don't feel holy. I'm talking about myself now. I don't always feel holy. But remind ourselves, remind yourself what Jesus accomplished on the cross defines us as holy. How can that happen? Secondly, you're not just loved, but dearly loved. Nothing can separate you and me from His love. I'm not capable of doing it, even when I make mistakes and not do things right. Nothing can separate from me from the love of the Father. Back to focus on Jesus. Dearly loved, holy, dearly loved. So, put on some new clothing that's full of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Flora, you're dearly loved. You know, Nancy and I have been watching these things on Angel about miracles. And in watching these episodes about, I mean, flat out miracles, the doctors even would say, nothing, I'm glad it's making you feel good. Your religion, what you're doing, makes you feel, but the doctor would tell a person, but your loved one is going to die. And nothing can change that. But they would say, no, they're going to live. They're going to live. And what was amazing watching this program, the other kind of thread, we watched three episodes now, kind of thread is self-condemnation. What have I done that you're doing this to me? And they've forgotten. They've totally forgotten that Jesus, for a moment, that Jesus accomplished everything on our behalf. And it seemed like the thread and the three were listening to, when they finally got to the end of the rope, something happened to these people where they said, wow, they said, I'm at the end of my rope. You know, and they, what can I do? And God would tell them and speak to them, no, you can do nothing. Believe me. Dismiss all unbelief out of your life and believe me. Believe me. It's not about you. It's not what you did right or wrong. It's about who I am. And I'm the God that can do the impossible. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? When you and I get to the end of our rope, where we tried everything, and God will speak back to us, please, Byron, stop and enter my rest. Believe me. Believe me. Believe my promises are a yes and amen. And I love spontaneity, and Kara, you're spot on in the remind us to just take a pause and view. Thank you for the courage and the faith to stand up and say, well, I don't normally do this, but this, it was exactly the will of God what you did. In fact, God is working in our lives because you are obedient enough to step out of the box and say something. Bear with one another, forgive one another. If any one of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. That's huge. That's huge. You know, when somebody's really pushed your button or got you mad, that's a time. That's a time to pause. That's a time to stop. Don't let rage and anger, don't let all those crazy things go on. Stop and focus on Jesus and how you've been forgiven. And over all these virtues, back to put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You remember Jesus saying, hey guys, talking to the disciples, hey guys, you want to be identified as belonging to me? Practice love. Because Jesus, through his whole ministry with those 12, himself was practicing love. So, if there's any virtue, anything in us, put on love. And it's the verses tell us how do I put on love? Easy, as already said. Focus on his love for you. Stop your mind from spinning around. Stop about being anxious for things, not trying to get somebody to do your will, and trying to put pressure on people, trying to control people. I'm glad we're part of the gathering place that doesn't control people. I really feel sad for people that are in churches where leadership is just trying to control them. The greatest learning that a person can have when they're set free to live. So how do you put on love? How do you wear that? How do you put on that love? Remind yourself how much you've been forgiven by Jesus. And then you will put on love. You'll put it on. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since members of one body, you are called to peace. I'm going to hold off on this little passage. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You know, Jesus, the night he was betrayed and he's having the Lord's Supper, that's when he chose to talk to the disciples. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives peace. It's fragile. But I'm telling you guys, there's supernatural peace available to you. What feeds supernatural peace? I mean, if you're kind of wrestling with that and the situations that come up in our life, bills we paid, sickness in the family, there's tons of things and opportunities that rob peace out of your life. So what feeds peace? What feeds peace? It's right here in the verse. What feeds supernatural peace? Thankfulness. It's easy to be thankful when a $10,000 debt is paid for by $35. it's not easy to be thankful with a huge disappointment in your life, or you feel like I'm waiting on God and He's doing nothing. Thankfulness, I don't think it's talked enough about, but thankfulness opens the door to peace that passes understanding. It really does. If I, you know, when I get this huge disappointment, I can do some of the other things earlier spoken in these verses. I can say things, act things out, do things wrong. But you know what? Thankfulness to stop. I'm thankful for the situation I'm in. Truly thankful. And Father God, while I'm going through this fire and this hard, difficult time, I thank you for this. Because I know you so love me. You're trying to get something out of me that wasn't there before. So I can truly be thankful. And guess what? Anxiety, frustration, lack of patience evaporates. Just leaves. And what comes in exchange? Supernatural peace. So I have to remind myself. I love God. I love giving these messages to God. I'm still talking to me. I go through this stuff, and just this week, we have a customer who needs some parts, and this machine's been down for 4 weeks. And this outside guy that we have coming in, he has to be almost my age. And my team is coming to me and said, "You got to get somebody else, man. This guy, he's too old for this job. He's not getting it done and not getting it." And I said, "So, we work a 4-day week, but." The only day the dude can come in was Friday, so I went to work on Friday. And his name is Rudy. He's an electrician. He's a master of knowledge about equipment and this thing. And I said, "Rudy, how you doing?" "Well, you know, I need this press Monday morning, so you got to think about staying here all weekend if you want to. This has got to be running Monday. It's the only machine we have to run this parts, and we're ready to shut International Truck down if we don't have these parts, and this machine's got to get going. But Rudy, you know what? I have faith in you. In fact, Rudy, I'm going to pray right now and pray that you come to the solution to get this machine going." And I don't believe he's a Christian, but he's a good Polish Catholic, though, and he nodded his head, and he said, yeah. So I went back, and I came back there, and he said, "Well," I said, "Do you really want to work with these wires with the power on?" And he says, "No, I don't like to, but I'm okay." So I said, "You sure? I'll try." So I popped the wrong breaker, and I go back to him, "Yes. Man, I got shocked like that." So sorry, Rudy. We'll find the right breaker so you can get this done. So I had one of my other employees get up on a lift to follow this 110-volt line. It was really crazy because we thought it was there, but we said, "How can it? It's heading way over there. This line went way over there." Turned around and came all the way back to this other box we weren't looking at. And he said, "That's where it is." So that's where it is. So we t- turn it off. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to have a mark, press 23, this is it. So you don't have to shock other people that are in their 80s, you know. So I said, well, I'm going to be here all day. I'm going to stay here until the guy gets this going. We have to get this going. So I go back to my office, where I love where I in my office, and a place where I can sit and thank God for all things. Thank you, Lord, for Rudy. All my employees don't like him. They think he doesn't know what he's doing. But I, Father, have him come to solution. We need this machine Monday. I don't know how, but I feel bad he got shocked. But I just pray that he'll come to the solution. So I went back out there. And he looks at me. I got it. Look at it's running. Look at it's running. I said, thank you so much, Rudy. But you know what? We don't stop there. It's fine. He got it going and everything else. And we can run the parts Monday morning. And it's all great. Very frustrating to go through a whole week and not fix. And you can lose your mind and start speaking words you should never say out of your mouth. But yesterday, it's not enough to be with Rudy and thank him for getting a job, but following up with a text and telling him how blessed I am having you as an outside subcontractor treasurer, and that I have faith and confidence in his ability. People need encouragement, especially going through tough times. Thankfulness, and it's reaffirmed in these next verses, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God. Fine, I'm thankful for you. I want to raise up your thought about how important your job here at the church. Leading worship is everything. It's everything. I would say getting people in the right place to worship right and worship correctly and worship with all their heart and soul and mind is, to me, almost more important than the spoken word. Because you know why? Because I'm giving information. You're sending people to the throne. Father, I'm giving a lot of information, things that people can use, hopefully use, and learn about their relationship with Jesus. But worship brings people to the throne. Singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. That's another way of saying thank you. That's another way of saying it. And whatever you do, whether in words or deeds, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, giving thanks to God our Father through Him. How much does this chapter have to say it? We have a Jesus that's sitting right next to our God, our Heavenly Father, pleading our case, saying, that's my child, that's my daughter, that's my son, hear them. And be at a work doing for them what I already accomplished on their behalf. Giving thanks to God the Father, through Jesus. What a name. Now, I don't mean to bore everybody, but you know what? Get all this right. The enemy is attacking relationships in the church, husbands and wife, parents to children. And really, the conclusion is everything we've already learned here. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband as fitting to the Lord. Here's the deal. I met Nancy, right? And subsequent conversations, as our life was growing, she would tell me, here's what she told me. I would go to God's throne of grace, praying to my Heavenly Father, I'm a single woman. Bring me a man that's so sold out to you. Because I know if you bring me that man, he'll love me correctly. Right? And God supernaturally brought us together. So husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh to them. Submission and love are really tied together. And it doesn't have to be a man and a woman. But if you love right, people will submit to you. The key thing is loving right. It's been through this whole message. You know, he loved us. Love right. Love right. Love one another. Love, 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 love. Love, and if you do that right, the other person will submit to you. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Children need to understand their role as children, that when they get obedience down, it's not pleasing their parents, it's really pleasing the God that loves them. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. I'm not a child psychiatrist, but you know what? Sometimes in raising our kids, I gave them room to fail. I run a company the same way. I give my employees room to fail. And then reel them in. Making the expectation so tough doesn't make them better. It leads them to discouragement. We never want our children to grow up and speak of us. There's nothing I could ever do to please my dad. And that's what it's talking about. Give your kids room to grow and experience success and failure. Slaves and earthly masters. I always say employees and employer. In everything, and do it not only when their eyes are on you and to carry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work with all your heart as working for the Lord. Yeah, and that's not just about the job. You all are missionaries. You know that. You don't have to join K Campus Crusade to become a missionary. We're all missionaries. And the key to being a missionary on the job is that you're doing your work not for your boss or for your manager or somebody that's above in the authority of you. You're there to perform your job as unto the Lord. And that brings favor to God and man. Never forget. I love God. I didn't mean to say this, but you know what? This is a nutshell. This is Joseph's life that took him as a slave, a prisoner, to second command in Egypt. Because what he did in his whole life was he did, and his actions were about pleasing God, even under great temptation and everything else. It is the Lord Jesus Christ you're serving. You and I, we are servants of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Anyone who does wrong will be paid for their wrongs. God has no favorites. So, if you're disciplined, rejoice. Again, thank Him for the discipline. Thank you that you disciplined me. I'll try to get it right the next time. So, God is a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, 10 chances. How do I know that? How do I know that? They say, how often should I forgive somebody? Oh, 70 times 7. That's His nature. If we belong to Him, we have Him in our life. He has multiple extra chances to get it right, doesn't He? Amen? We're good? We're good? Are you all good? Are you good? Were you blessed? Were you encouraged? All right? You know what? I would encourage you. Sometimes, you know, you hear me with Colossians chapter 3. I don't normally don't say this, but maybe go home and read it for yourself. And have the Holy Spirit just pop out truth to you. And I think my final word for this morning, be thankful for all things. And God bless all of you.